May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our foundation. Amen. Now, back in the end of June, I introduced the idea that we would have a sermon series over July that would be centered around living above the level of mediocrity. And the zucchinis actually blend right into the beginning of my sermon. Because as summer has progressed, we move out of our cocoons, our homes, our condos, our apartments, and we venture out and enjoy what the Okanagan has to offer. Cherries, peaches, nectarines, and zucchini. And I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a homer. And local corn, not Chilliwack corn. Holy cow. That's embarrassing to see those things. But it's entrepreneurship, and, you know, I mean, there might be somebody from Alberta looking for Tabor corn, but local corn. We also move outside of our cocoons and enjoy the splendorous views. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to do a wedding at Okanagan Lake Resort, and I had to come up along West Side Road. Boy, there's a lot of crazy boaters out there, zipping around, going in all directions. And then you see the gawkers looking at the lake. And then something I recognized, everybody seems to want to build a house that looks at the lake. Can any of you afford that? I can't. Oh, okay, you have to stand on a chair to look at your... Okay. The Okanagan, and especially this summer, reminds us of the creative force that God is. All of creation is so bountiful and such a blessing here. And living in the Okanagan and the blessing that we have of peace and security, we can recognize that it is God's intentions that we be sons and daughters and seek His inheritance. And I preached about this back in June. That God wants us to be recognizable as sons and daughters of His. Paul writes that we can do anything through Him who strengthens us. Yes, we live in this beautiful place, and we can get by ignoring God quite nicely, but if we are to fully appreciate and apprehend and take on what He is offering us, there has to be a connection, there has to be a relationship, there has to be a contact with God. We don't have to live in the commonplace. We don't have to live adventureless lives, but our lives can be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what we offer in this sanctuary. This is what we offer in this community, is to live with the Spirit of God within us. Now, I want to thank Marlene, and I want to thank my wife, Sherry, and I want to thank Gary Swaby, who really, all three of them knocked it out of the park on their sermons on getting us to hear how God wants us to live lives to the full. Now, there's this intention that we are to live in an adventurous life. That's what God is calling us to be, adventurous. Well, Microsoft's Thesaurus says adventurous could also be described as being bold, audacious, brave, explanatory, courageous, exciting, carefree, risk-taking, thrill-seeking, adventuresome, and risky. When in your life have you last risked something? When have you been adventurous? Now, I want you to find your bulletin. I want you to turn in the bulletin to the back page and come to the five moments of your life. Now, those that can have a pen, what we want you to do is put, first of all, put an X in. We're going to workshop this a little bit. First of all, put an X in where your age is. Okay, I look over at this crowd. So I didn't go long enough. I'm sorry. Okay. But there was only so much space. Put an X where your age is. Okay, put an R on the timeline where you have had a moment which has defined your significant relationship. Help them out, ladies. Let them know the year in which you got married. When was that significant relationship? Then put an F where you encountered and took made a decision as to your field of study or work. Now, some of you can take this home, too, if you don't have a pencil. And then put a C on maybe an encounter or something that built your character, established your character. And then S, where was there a moment that established or enhanced your spiritual life? Where did you encounter Jesus? And then throw in an extra one for an M on something that was really important, that a moment in your life that changed things. These were all risky steps, especially for the fellas, about asking the lady you marry, "Will you marry me?" I have the joy and pleasure of doing destination weddings in the Okanagan, and that's why I'm a little committed over the summer on some weekends. And I hear the stories from couples of how the question was asked. Now, there are moments in our life such as these where we have taken a chance. Now, the question I'm not going to ask is, how's it turned out? How did those decisions over your life turn out? I'm not going to ask that question. My question is, are you prepared to add additional risks? Are you prepared to do more? And even the 80 plus, are you prepared to risk more? I'm creeping up. I'm 68. I'm creeping up on that line. Some of you still refer to me as a kid, but that's okay. Are you prepared to take an additional risk? Or have you chosen to play it safe? Have you chosen to settle for less? Have you chosen to go with the flow? You know what? That's less stressful. Less demanding. Are you thinking, I'm not sure if I really want to undertake any hazardous things, Wayne, right now. Haven't you seen the news? Why should I venture out? I married a couple of weeks ago from Scotland. I asked them how the BRICS exit is going. They said they were smart enough to take all their investments and put it in American funds before the vote. And I said, oh, that's a Scot for you. And then they started talking about our cousins to the south of us. And we're all shaking in our boots, like, what are they doing down there? And then there's this incredible event in France. Father Jacques Hamel, who was martyred. Why should I take any risks when the world is crazy? Why should I do this? Because Scripture says that we have all been created with a divine destiny. You know that's inside of you. You've read it in the Bible, but there's something inside of each and every one of us that says, I've got something to do. In Scripture, it tells us that we are called to fulfill a mission. We all know that's inside of us as well as written in the Bible. And we have been designed for a unique purpose. You know the story of the fingerprint? Each fingerprint is unique. Each person in this room is unique. But collectively, there can be a fire here. A fire with a blue flame. Jesus has called us to be disciples. And the new word out there right now, Church Cloud, is apprentice. You know, the red seal that college offers, the apprenticeship journeyman program? Well, that's what Jesus was saying. I want you to be my apprentice. I want you to work with me, walk with me. In fact, I want you to be so close to me that the dust from the rabbi falls on the disciple. The dust from the rabbi falls on the disciple. This is a Hebraic, rabbinic form of discipleship. That you would follow your leader so close that as he's walking through, the dust from him goes on to your clothes. That's how close we are called into discipleship. That dust is there. And Jesus calls us to live a life of an unimaginable adventure. A chap that I have heard speak a couple of times in Edmonton and Breakforth, up at the Bottega in Kelowna, Irwin Raphael McManus. Now, he wrote a few things in this book called Chasing Daylight. He says, Jesus tells us that he is the portal to a new life. And he also says that he is the quest. He is the quest that follows that new life. That Jesus describes him as that door, that portal, that goal, that object. He has come to free us from a meaningless existence and liberate us to a life filled with adventure. He has come to lead us out of the mundane and into the extraordinary. Strangely enough, though, we find it hard to trust him. While at the same time, he's trying to lead us out of the dark dungeons we have created for ourselves and we have led ourselves into. He's trying to create a situation in which we are free to run in the light of day. And when we come to him, he transforms us into an entirely new realm of existence. That's how close we're to be. That's who Jesus Christ has called us to be. Jesus was crucified as a criminal. This is what McManus, I love this part. But his accusers didn't know that as killing him as a criminal, Jesus was planning and fulfilling history's most extraordinary prison break. A prison break. For us to live in the kingdom now and for eternity. That's the offer. That's the opportunity. If you would like, go to 1 Samuel 13. If you've got a pew Bible, I'll just walk through it. I'm not going to read it. It's the story of Saul picking a fight with the Philistines. And we know, for those of us who have done a little Bible study and research, Saul kind of got ahead of the game, and he went and did a sacrifice without Samuel being present, and it didn't go well, and Saul was pushed back and had to retreat. Well, Saul ended up going to Gibeah, his hometown. And he gathered around him 600 people to help in the fight. But they only had two swords. Because the Philistines had made sure that they controlled the blacksmith's trade. So the Hebrew people would only go to war with bows, arrows, and slings. Therefore, they needed God's presence. They needed Samuel. They needed the sacrifice. They needed God's promise to be fulfilled. And Saul screwed it up. So he had to go on the run. So where does he end up? Sitting under a pomegranate tree. The dilemma of the pomegranate tree. A place of retreat, a place maybe of sanctuary, a place in your hometown, a place where you can hide, a place that God is saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why aren't you fulfilling what we have promised you? Why didn't you listen to Samuel? And then we have Jonathan, his son. And this is starting at chapter 14, verse 2. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Geba under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men. Among him was Ajah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod, brother of, well, we'll go on with all those names. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. Jonathan sneaks off. Now, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistines, Jonathan decided he was going to go pick a fight because he knew of God's promise. Earlier on, when Saul was being selected to be the king of the Jews, God had given Samuel a promise. I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, anoint him ruler over the people of Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me. Jonathan knew that promise. So what does he do? He says to his armor bearer, I'll just paraphrase, let's go pick a fight. Let's go out there. I know God's promise. Let's go out there and see what's going to happen. I'm not staying in a pomegranate, under a pomegranate tree. I'm not hiding out with my dad. I'm going to go pick a fight. And what does the armor bearer says? Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this. And he scales the canyon. And he takes on the Philistines. And the earth shakes. And the Philistines are taken. Saul, on hearing and feeling the ground move and hearing the success that his son is having, rouses his men forward and they defeat the Philistines and they take the land that was promised to them. Because Jonathan acted in faith in God's promise. This is a quote from Hebrews that says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Jonathan knew God. He had hung out with God. He had listened in his prayers to God stirring within him. He knew of the prophet Samuel. He knew that his dad had been selected. He knew of this promise that the Philistines would be defeated. He knew that if he stepped out, God would be there. Because he had spent time with God. He had prepared himself for God. He had searched his heart, and he knew the moment had come. Jonathan chose to act. You have to understand that each choice we make shapes and lays out what is to come of us personally, historically, and eternally. I'm going to repeat that. Each choice we make shapes what lays ahead of us personally, historically, and eternally. The choices we make at any given moment are important. God has created within us something called free will. We all thought, free will, doesn't that get us into trouble? Yeah. But the capacity to choose perhaps is the greatest expression of being created in the image of God. Hear that. The capacity to make choices perhaps is the greatest expression of being created in the image of God. The most spiritual activity we can engage in today is making choices. And we as a congregation are about to make some choices. So the most important thing you need to understand is spend time with God. Pray for the future of this church. Pray for the candidacy. Pray for the search committee. Pray for the elders. Pray for the congregation. Some choices are going to be made. All the activities described as spiritual, I'm sorry, John, praise songs, meditation, prayer, these are great, and they all connect us to God, and they help us figure out how to live. But the choice that we make momentarily is the choice that is going to have an impact down the road. Choices either move us towards God or steer us away from God. The power of Christ's intervention into the world and the gift of the Holy Spirit adds to us making those choices. It empowers us. So Christ coming into the world, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and our ability to make choices, wow. That's true significance and true power. No matter what kind of life we live, no matter how many wrong choices we've made, no matter how sedentary our life is, the next moment that you have is waiting to birth a new life. Every moment you have in coming to a decision point is a point of momentum. The present moment is where the past and the future collide, and within a moment, there is a monumental potential. Moments carry within them the fuel of things to happen. As we look to the future, and we are guided by the past, and we are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we are engaged with Jesus Christ, we are at a point of monumental potential. Erwin McManus goes on to say, moments come and go, and often the opportunities that lie within them leave things behind. You see, time is a tyrant. It consumes the choices left undone. The only choice that we really have at any given time is the choice of the good. When you choose to move in the realm of God's will, nothing can stop you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. If you are in the realm of spending time with God and you have a choice to make and you work towards the good, God's will manifest itself and your purpose in life will be enhanced. When I worked on the five moments of my life that I had you in there, I also went back and said, well, you know, those are five significant times, but there were some other significant times in my life too. There were some times where there was some true character building where I went through some major failures. So I had to go back and go, yep, that was a character time. That was a character time. There was times when I encountered the Holy Spirit where he drove me to the ground in a slain spirit. Yep, that happened there. That happened there. Then there was the birth of my sons and seeing life born. That was an incredible moment. There are a whole series of moments. This is not just five. There's not just five. We need to look at our life. We need to look at what's going on in our lives and to recognize that each and every moment we have ahead of us or at this time comes with the ability to make a choice of moving towards God or steering away from God. Now, there's a favorite passage in the Bible I have. It's in Exodus 14. Moses and the gang have left Egypt. They're at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's chasing down upon them. And the people are screaming, Moses, they're going to kill us. Why did you bring us out here? Aren't the graves in Egypt enough? You want to have us killed here? And so what does Moses do? He says, don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation today. Take a good look at the Egyptians today, for they're never going to see them again. You're never going to see them again. God will fight the battle for you. And you, this is Eugene Peterson's translation, and keep your mouth shut. So what does God say to Moses? This is even cooler. Why are you crying out to me? Speak to the Israelites, order them to get to moving. In other words, Moses is telling people to shut up, and what is God telling Moses? Shut up. What's with the speech? What's with the big announcement? Just tell them to move. Use your faith in me. Act now. So that pomegranate tree? You've heard the expression, if life sucks and you're dealt a whole bunch of lemons, go out and make lemonade. I love pomegranates. They're the weirdest thing in the world to eat. I always stain my clothes, always is a mess. But the pomegranate is also a symbol of Israel. That within this piece of fruit, there's all these wonderful seeds. And each of the seeds has this wonderful juice around it. And each of those seeds can be transported and grown as another tree. We are the seeds in a pomegranate. We're kind of juicy, but they kind of get stuck in your teeth. But the opportunity is there with what we have been dealt with our lives as they are. The next moment you have gives you the opportunity to make a choice to move towards God or steer away from God. And my advice is, seize the moment, but most interestingly, what I'm going to tell you what to do with that moment, spend time with God in prayer. Develop a relationship with God that is so close, the dust just covers you. So when you go to prayer, the objective of prayer is to know the mind of God, not have a shopping list. And with that awareness, with that relationship covered in dust, when you step out in that choice, when you step out in that moment, you will be doing God's will. This wonderful church, this wonderful congregation has an opportunity to step out with its future. God bless you. But as you head towards that decision, please, I beg you, build that relationship with God so that when you make your choice, not only will it be a good choice, but an empowered choice, an adventurous choice, a bold choice, a risky choice, a change of an adventure that is unbelievable. This is God's promise. This is God's hope. Amen.